Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Welcome back, and thank you for tuning in to tonight's edition of Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160 is the telephone number if you would like to call and talk about whatever's on your mind. We've been talking about all sorts of fun stuff tonight. You can opine on any of that or change the subject. It's up to you. It's Free Talk Live. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass.
Beakless Mountaineer.
And Mark Edge.
Mark, you got something going on you want to tell the ladies and gentlemen about, huh?
Yeah, so it's the Enemies of the State DC Bash. And this is an event to support people like Julian Assange and Ed Snowden and Roger Ver, Ross Ulbricht, and Ian Freeman.
Yes.
And it's going to be a big event. So Jordan Peterson's going to be there. This is going to be basically a party.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there'll be some speeches and things like that. But I'm going to MC the event, and it's on May the 24th.
Are you going to wear MC Hammer pants?
Well, it is going to, after all, be Mark Edge time. yeah, so it's at the Washington Hilton in Washington, D.C. on May the 24th, there's supposed to be a very big announcement about who's going to be there as a surprise.
Oh.
Now, I've heard speculation, but nobody knows exactly who intends to show up, but they're working with the Libertarian Party.
Okay.
Which could be quite a list, and I don't know who it is.
Not John McAfee, is it?
That would be a surprise for sure. And I wouldn't put it past him.
I will be so happy to welcome John McAfee to the stage of Enemies of the State.
I lost my John McAfee in a boating accident.
Yep. Doors open at 9 p.m. There won't be a meal for this or anything like that. Doors open at 9 p.m.
My kind of event.
Yep. And Friday, May the 24th, you can go. We're going to put there isn't a good short link for this. You can look up Enemies of the State through Google and see how that works for you. But we're going to put it on our Twitter. We're going to put it on our Facebook. Captain, anyplace else that you can think of it is?
Mastodon, wherever you find Free Talk Live on social media.
Okay.
It's already posted. By the way, I posted it about 3 minutes ago. It says, support Ian Freeman, Roger Ver, Ross Ulbricht at this event. Free Talk Live's own Mark Edge will MC. Sponsors are welcomed, and then a link for you to find out more.
Excellent. So, yeah, please go to this event. I want to support them. At this point, they're still looking to make ends meet for paying for all the venues and things like that. They're looking for sponsorship. They don't have tickets that you can buy, but you can sponsor, and then I suspect you'll get tickets anyway.
I love bashing D.C.
That's what it is, the bash in D.C. So, you know, they've got low-level sponsorships. You can sponsor in cryptocurrency, or you can choose nasty fiat. It's up to you. We've got the links at our social media. So any Free Talk Live social media, look us up, Free Talk Live.
Yep. And if you want us to choose one for you, Twitter. It's there for sure.
Yeah. It's a little harder to find things on Facebook, but go ahead.
Yep. So
did I say Jordan Peterson? I'm sorry, I meant to say Jordan Page.
Jordan Page.
Okay, Jordan Page. Yeah, okay. But Jordan Peterson, to my knowledge, doesn't play anything. thank goodness the guy who's organizing it down here.
He might play the fool from time to time.
He was listening in on the mention, so he caught my mistake. Thank you.
Jordan,
that would be bad.
Page.
That would be a big event.
That
I hope
would
it
be
is
a heck of an event. Yeah. I was like, geez, can I make it down there?
Right, and well, I mean. the sponsorships are as low as $25 to start. So, anyway.
Trip.
I don't know. I'm not claiming that Jordan Peterson will be there, but I am claiming that the word is that a very big name will be there. And that big name isn't
Mark Edge. But I will be there.
And who's the guy that will be there? The
Jordan Page.
Page. Thank you.
Jordan Page. Jordan Page. He does a great event. I've seen him at Porkfest, and he can hold the crowd for the far all night long.
Nice.
Yeah, it's great.
So right. Along with that, you mentioned Roger Veer there,
yes.
And along with him and the two creators of the Samurai Wallet that are being, in my opinion, completely unjustly targeted, I think a big reason that they're doing this is they realize that they can't actually stop us. They can barely slow any of this transition down. So I think what they're trying to do is to get people who are a loud voice, who are proclaiming from the mountaintops,
yep,
to shut up and to self-censor, to get everyone to get that chilling effect of, oh, geez, I don't want to end up like Bitcoin Jesus. I don't want to end up like those Samurai Wallet guys. Yep. I better keep my head down, keep my mouth shut. I better not spread the good word. Otherwise, they'll come after me, too.
Well, it seems like there's an acceptable amount of things that you can say. And some of that acceptable stuff is supporting Bitcoin itself. Right? Like, you can support Bitcoin, but it seems like the people that they're target always are allow people to get into other cryptocurrencies too.
Well, I think part of it is if you are pushing self-custody,
okay,
you are their enemy, even of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, you've got people like Fink.
But don't you think that self-custody and Bitcoin is almost dead at this point?
Not even remotely.
One of the problems with self-custody when it comes to Bitcoin is that they can white label and black label Bitcoin very easily. What I mean by that is to say that a Bitcoin, any given Satoshi, is a good Satoshi or a bad Satoshi. Whereas, say, with Monero, you could never do that.
Mm-hmm.
Monero is highly fungible, even more fungible than the Bitcoin. And so you can say that, you know, if you know that Pablo Escobar has a given Bitcoin, you can black label that Bitcoin and say, you can't, nobody can accept this Bitcoin because this is Pablo Escobar's Bitcoin. And therefore,
you can try.
I don't know what the number of Bitcoins that are self-custodied at this point or not white-labeled in some way, but it's getting to be fewer and fewer all the time.
I've seen no evidence of any Bitcoin being black-labeled or blacklisted, if that's a better term. I've seen no evidence of government actually doing that.
Yeah. I don't know that they have done that, but they certainly, Coinbase certainly says, these people have turned Bitcoin into U.S. dollars, and here's the Bitcoins, and here's the transaction, and given it to the United States government. And I would further say that at this point with AI, imagine this, because here's where I think they are in this whole process.
Mm-hmm.
In this point in the process, they're deciding who has which Bitcoins. So if you have ever, if I have, say, 100 Bitcoins,
mm-hmm,
and I send from that wallet with 100 Bitcoins on it, I send a portion of that, say, one Bitcoin to buy, I don't know, a car,
mm-hmm,
and then I register that car in my name, they can then link that Bitcoin, mm-hmm, to Mark Edge, and then link the whole 100 Bitcoin to me also.
Right.
Unless I have put them all in separate wallets or something like that. But then they can say, okay, and then the you know, these coins came from, and then those, you know, if I had 1,000 previously, they can track the other 900 coins, and they can say they went to these people, they know Mark.
They,
and,
can,
you know,
they can only somewhat track them.
Yeah. Okay, so
I say that because there is technology out there that will prevent them from tracking.
So you're talking like mixing pools and stuff.
I'm talking about those kinds of things. There's also some services out there.
Like just,
there's
just
also some exchange
out.
Services out there that you can move your Bitcoin to them, and then they will send you back whatever your agreed amount other cryptocurrency is without any link between the two wallets.
Right. Okay. So, like, the problem is that you would have to have universal application. And, for example, China does not want to enforce American rules, and America does not want to enforce Chinese rules, what with them being rivals and all. So it's really hard to get any particular wallet that they can all agree, okay, well, this is Pablo Escobar, you can't do that anyplace. And even if you can, okay, let's say that I end up working with someone who got their Bitcoin from this Pablo Escobar wallet. Okay, well, let's say I absolutely need to turn that back into dirty fiat. Okay, well, what I can do, I can turn that Bitcoin into either a different Bitcoin or a completely different cryptocurrency. I can get paid in, say, Dash or Monero or what have you, and then use that, turn that into dollars. So, like,
what my prediction is that at some point they will find a guy, right, that is so evil that Coinbase has to ban doing business with them. And once they control, say, Coinbase, then they control Kraken. And I think we all agree that these are controlled, situations.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to use the Chinese exchange. I can't read it. And I'm only going to do the American exchange, and I don't trust them either. And I'm sure the Chinese feel the same about Americans. So they're going to use the Chinese exchange, and if they could, I mean, it's so hard to get money out of China, and Chinese can't actually even use Bitcoin. You can mine it, but you can't use it. It's a lot easier to mine it as
can,
to use it.
Can we pause this for a minute? Yep. We have a caller that I want to get to.
Yeah, please.
All right, let's table that. We can keep talking about it, but let's go to Ricky in the Commonwealth. Ricky, you're on Free Talk Live.
Thank you there, Brother Captain, Brother Mark. Pequot's Mountaineer, good evening.
Evening.
Well, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm watching this stuff now. You got these young kids, right, with these protests coming out of the colleges. Now, it started in Columbia, and it started to spread since the beginning of the week.
And they all got the same tent. All these protesters have the exact same model and brand of tent.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who have the same tent.
You forget I'm blind, Captain.
You're right.
I thought maybe you'd heard, though.
No, I didn't hear that, but I'll tell you what I did hear. Along comes Wednesday as it starts to spread. Wednesday. Now, as a Jeffersonian, I like to think that I understand a few things about civil rights, you know, written and unwritten. Here comes Friday. Along comes Uncle Joe. And he comes out with this one. This is the first thing I hear out of this guy's mouth. Get this. He doesn't condone the violence. Well, I don't either. Well, that's where these kids screwed up. Okay, they did, but they're dumb kids. But here's the thing. He comes out with this right after. He personally doesn't condone anti-Semitic speech. Now, Joe, you're President of the United States. It doesn't matter what you personally think, okay? Let me explain to you how this works in case anybody's listening.
I'm sorry, what?
You have the... What, well, no, anybody.
Somebody I know. Go ahead. I was being a jester.
Okay. Somebody will tell Joe and enlighten him with this. It doesn't personally matter what he thinks. Here's what it is. As long as you... Now, they screwed up, okay? But as long as you don't have... This is what I have a problem with, said. As long as you don't have associated crimes with it, okay, you can have anti-Semitic speech. You can hate anybody you damn well want. And what I find even more fascinating...
Can you go on a college campus and follow around Jewish students yelling at them about how they're responsible for the genocide of, you know, babies and all this nonsense? You both pay to be there. And presumably the college says that one of the rules is you're not allowed to walk after students and scream at them, even if you feel like you have a very good reason.
Well, I think it's a more complicated argument than that, because they did have violence involved. But let's take that away from there. The problem was, he says he personally doesn't condone anti-Semitic speech. This is a quote I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
And here's the problem with this. It does, like, example. What Ricky from the Commonwealth thinks is completely immaterial, totally unimportant, doesn't even matter this discussion. Because what I find fascinating...
And thank you for your call.
So wait a minute.
Sorry, there are people out there.
Hold on, you're being a real joker tonight, Captain. Now, there are people, I see them. Now, these are not elected officials, but they're just people. I see them on the news. Now, they hate these people that are saying these things. They hate them. And they say, we got to stop it. But yet those people don't have the right to hate other people with what they're saying, you know? And
no.
The thing is, know what?
I didn't understand. You asked me if I know what you're saying, and I didn't know.
No, I mean, I said, you know, that's what it is. You have the right to hate people.
Yes,
I mean,
yep.
That's what free speech is all about. But they
do
screw up. And why do they screw up? Here's the answer. They, in these college kids, they are the product of social engineering. And where do you think that social engineering's coming from?
Public schooling.
And I'd like to know who told Joe to make said statement, where he personally
handlers.
Doesn't seem to be able to have an opinion of his own outside of the presidency. He personally thinks this. So I'm supposed to believe that Joe Biden, the president, and Joe Biden, the person, are two separate entities?
Well, the White House does frequently undermine what he says.
So well
there is that. As well they should.
Well,
like when he's like,
Putin
cannot be allowed to continue to run Russia. And they're like, it is not the position of the White House that this is so.
Well, it gets even worse because here comes Thursday, right? This is real good. Now, I got the news on in the morning on Thursday, and I got MSNBC on. And guess who comes on? Al Sharpton. He comes out with this one. He says, yeah, it's a shame you had the violence because you lose the message. It's pretty bad when Al Sharpton understands this and the president of the United States doesn't.
Well, the president, both of them, the most recent ones anyway, are just incoherent, babbling, useless twats. As far as I'm concerned.
No, I got to tell you, this is the worst thing. No. I mean, okay, Joe has had his good and bad moments, but this one, I got to tell you, from a freedom of speech standpoint, this has got to be one of the worst things that I have, at least in my lifetime anyway, heard a president publicly say. I mean, this is so bad.
It's going to get worse, though, man. Like,
dangerous.
It doesn't matter, you know, which senile old pervert gets elected. It looks like the presidential election is going to be between the same two guys that it was last time.
It's beginning to look that way.
And so it's going to get worse before it gets better. The empire is not going to go away unless it collapses.
The empire doesn't need your permission.
Yeah, right. The thing that I find amazing about this is that the post-Obama left finally found a war it didn't love. That's what astonishes me about this, is that you have people on the left protesting a war. They haven't done that since Obama. They used to do that for a very long time before, but ever since, which is certainly not what the powers that be would like them to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which I think is why they sent the police in, because they're fine. Hey, you're off script. We're supposed to get this war going in Israel.
I saw an interesting statistic, and I can't tell you the exact. Hold on, Ricky.
I will say.
Hold on, Ricky.
You're right. It didn't start.
Ricky, hold on.
Ricky, hold on. In the late 60s, early 70s, there was a period, and I think it was like 3 years, but it might have been a little longer than that. The 2,500. Bombs and bomb threats were leveled. I mean, the college students of that era were far more militant about what they believed than what they are at this point.
And that was anti-war left.
Hey, Ricky, thanks for the call,
man. Even more than that.
Give us a call back again another time, Ricky. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160. I'm trying to remember the last, because I was in Seattle for the Occupy stuff when that was going down, but that wasn't a war protest.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's important to remember that it is always a political decision whether or not the police go in to break these things up.
Yeah.
Like when they had the Chaz, right?
Yeah,
yeah, perfect example of okay, very obviously extremely illegal, but no, there's no police interference because
we're not going to do that.
Yeah, that's not the politics.
January 6th. You see some American citizens with flags and, going to take an unauthorized tour in the Capitol. Suddenly, and the only person who got killed in this was killed by a Capitol police officer.
Yep.
You saw the lies, the misrepresentation. You've seen the incredible hunting down of everybody that was in any way involved.
They not only hunted down people who were in D.C. on January 6th. They hunted down people who were at their state capitol, doing protesting or just gathering to see what the protest was about.
Yeah.
They hunted those people down, too. So it wasn't just people at D.C.
Yeah. It was people at their own state capitals, all of them, right? Near as I can tell, you know, they weren't being discriminatory about who, which states that they hunted down. I don't know if there's a rhyme or reason to it. I just happen to know some people who were at a different state, not D.C., some here in the New England area, some further west, some in the south, that kind of a thing, who were at their state capital either protesting or watching. They also got hunted down by the feds.
Well, and the thing is, unlike the, you know, supposedly aimed at police accountability protests that had happened, the January 6th protest actually brought into question the rulership of these maniacs.
Right.
And that is why they became such a target.
Mm. Well, it's I would agree. Interestingly, though, the summer, the burning summer that came before that, all was demanding that the minions of the ruling class be defunded, right? You know, like the police are the tip of the spear.
Right.
The police do what the politicians say, and they'll tell you, just following doing my job, just following the law here, right? The law is the scribblings of liars and thieves in a given capital, and the police do that. But those people did not protect the police in that circumstance. They, you know, it's fine that the minions are turned against, but not us.
Right. Yeah, you can go at the lower level, but not the top.
Yeah.
How dare you question, how dare you enter this sacred institution?
Right.
The sacred building. How many times did they call this sacred, and they want us to believe that this isn't a religion?
Yeah, it's interesting. The king doesn't protect the king's men.
As they attempt to save the soul of the nation, to rescue the soul of America. How many times did Biden talk about the soul? It's like, what? Are you?
He's just talking about fish. The soul of America.
Oh, talking not about shoes.
No shoes. Yeah. Isn't there a fish called soul?
There is. Yes.
Now, I to segue completely off of this, I wanted to get back to you. Had said that the United States was in a position to embrace Bitcoin in a way that Russia and China weren't, and
can't.
Well, So first off, like America can't and won't.
America won't.
Yeah, well,
it could.
Well, no, fundamentally, this undermines the power of all of these people who have made extraordinary sacrifices of their own souls, among other things, to get this power. So they can't, and they won't. They can't because then they're trying to fight with less power against an opponent that will get more power. So they can't, and they don't want to.
If they were to become maxis, right? So Bitcoin is the perfect tool of a tyrannical government in so much as you can see what people's transactions are. If the United States government was to, say, send out the word, in 30 days, we become maxis.
Except that it's easy to turn into not Bitcoin.
Well, for now, but I think that they would crack down on that, and I think they have been.
More Free Talk Live is coming up, 603-283-6160. Don't go anywhere.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. The NYPD is admitting an officer accidentally shot his gun when police were clearing protesters out of Columbia University. Officials say a veteran emergency service unit sergeant was trying to gain entry into a locked office in Hamilton Hall last week when a firearm unintentionally went off. The bullet went into the office and didn't harm anyone. The incident occurred while the officers in riot gear were trying to clear out the protesters that forcibly took over the hall. A new study suggests that emissions from gas stoves
are linked to increased rates of childhood asthma and premature death. The Stanford research published in the Journal of Science Advances indicates that a combination of pollutants may contribute to around 200,000 cases of asthma. Furthermore, long-term exposure to nitrogen dioxide from gas stoves could be responsible for up to 19,000 adult deaths annually. USA News, I'm Jen Gelber.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Welcome back to the final segment of tonight's Free Talk Live. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass,
Beakless Mountaineer,
and Mark Edge.
Before we go on with the show, it's time to say thank you to tonight's amplifier. We want to say thank you to A. Friedman. First initial A, last name Friedman, who is a gold-level amplifier. What does that mean? What does it mean to be an amplifier? Well, you can visit amps.freetalklive.com. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. And A. Friedman gives $10 a month. He's a gold level.
Thank you.
We only ask for five. That's the silver level. 10 is gold, and there's a platinum level, and there's a couple other things. We only ask for five, but if you want to give more, you can. There's little perks. Little freebies that you get, but that's not why you should amplify. You should amplify because you believe that spreading the word of freedom, the message of liberty, prosperity, and individuality is the most important thing, and you want to put your liberty charity dollars, if you will. Not that we're a legit or a 501c3. You can't write it off in your taxes. We are a legit charity organization.
Because I understand you can't.
Really?
Because we're owned by the Shire Free Church.
Oh, very well. I was not.
I have heard.
I'm not a tax attorney. This is not tax advice.
Right. That's exactly the answer.
But if you value the message of freedom, liberty, peace, and prosperity, please consider becoming an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com. It's a Patreon type setup. And as Mark Edge would say, I believe it's the best use of your liberty dollar.
Yeah.
So thank you again, A. Friedman. We appreciate you. Visit amps.freetalklive.com to become an amplifier.
Thanks, eh?
All right. So,
as a Canadian might say.
Thanks, eh?
So, you in our previous segment, you guys were in a discussion centering around Bitcoin, the Block Wars, Roger Ver's book, things of that nature, and we started talking a little bit about, you know, sort of the features of Bitcoin. And I want to say this. I think that because cryptocurrency is a free market,
mm-hmm.
right, and a competitive one at that,
mm-hmm.
that it is only a matter of time until all of the currently existing cryptocurrencies, or most of them at least, homogenize in a feature set. Right. That is to say, currently, things like Monero and Pirate and, you know, there's privacy coins, right? They have a niche there. Oh, we're going to develop privacy coins. And then there's spendable coins, Dash, even Litecoin to some extent, BCH, right? These are the coins that focus on being spendable. All I'm saying is that it's only a matter of time until all of these feature sets get homogenized and all cryptocurrencies have adopted things like privacy coin features, things like spendability features. It's only a matter of time. So, yes, the government is going to continue cracking down on the big boy. That's BTC. Meanwhile, all the other coins are going to continue being developed with all these other feature sets that can and absolutely will be adopted by all the other coins at some point, particularly the point where it becomes necessary for them to do so because of government oppression.
But Bitcoin hasn't adopted anything
yet
from any of the other coins. It seems like
that's literally what you get. Like that is what it offers. It offers the highest security and the highest simplicity, more or less. Like there's an argument that SV is like maybe a little bit simpler, but I mean,
but it doesn't have the comparative advantage against the 51 attack.
Right, exactly. The lack of hash rate security means that it's not a real competitor. So I mean, weirdly enough, it's a feature, not a bug, that it has no features.
Well, my biggest concern is the earlier this week, last week, was it that Bitcoin transactions were $100 a piece?
Mm-hmm.
Then on top of that, to me, there's no privacy. To me, what I'm looking to do, I'm looking to divest myself of Bitcoin as it continues to crawl up.
Mm-hmm.
I'll hold some.
Yeah.
Because it could be that the Bitcoin Citadel situation comes around. And, you know, if you have one Bitcoin, you'll be able to enter the Citadel, right? Whereas the rest of them are out there clawing, wishing that they had money. I don't know what the scenario is. But
yeah.
I feel like it's one of these other coins. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's a central bank digital currency coin. But I feel like it's something else.
I think there's going to, so I completely disagree with you about the homogenization. I think that there's the trade-offs. Like the reason
when I say homogenization, I just mean that, like, there's going to be some core features that, most of the cryptocurrencies are going to consider, necessary. Right.
I don't know, man. I mean,
things like privacy, for example, and spendability. These are the two biggest things that people harp on.
No one's going to care about privacy until it becomes a major currency, honestly, is what I think. And the thing is, there's trade-offs with all of this stuff. So, like, the fact that you can't audit Monero is absolutely necessary for its privacy features. So, sure. Like, that is a straight-up trade-off. The security level of any given coin is in competition with the fact that it's, like, whether it is or isn't a Turing complete system. So, like, whether or not you can basically turn it into a computer program will interfere with its ability to function as money because it shuts down a lot of the security features and opens it to attack. So, I think there's
kind
of
like
that.
It's kind of like when the first GM and Ford, right, the two big car manufacturers, right, when power steering was invented, right, only one of them had it. And then, suddenly the other one developed it and implemented it into their own product. The same thing's going to happen, right? Cryptocurrency is going to reach a point where it is going to be necessary for the survival of each of these coins to adopt more features, right? And so we will see the most important ones become adopted by those coins who want to survive.
Well, BTC is not going to adopt any features, man.
No, but BCH could certainly very easily adopt the privacy features of Monero.
No. No, no, okay.
Not Monero, no, but it could do something like Dash.
Okay. What I'm saying is that each of these coins is going to have to adopt the niche markets that each of these coins are enjoying success in at some point. It's going to become necessary. Kind of like when search engines got rid of all the busy page advertisements and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think it's going the other direction. I think these are going to be more of a niche, if it's even possible, than they are now. Where, like, yeah, if you want to be one of the computer chains, you just do computer stuff. If you want to be one of the currency chains, then you just do currency stuff. Because these are trade-offs.
I don't know.
I mean, like in your analogy, it's kind of like if power steering screwed up your miles per gallon. Like, that's the equivalent of what's going on here, where this feature interferes with that feature. There are hard trade-offs with a lot of this stuff.
I don't see how privacy would...
Okay, so privacy and
shooting myself in the foot for your mortgage, the two things aren't connected.
Privacy and auditability, which one would you like? So either I can have this a you know, like what Mark was talking about with BTC being something that you can track and trace absolutely every transaction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's auditable. That's it. Like, I can, in fact, check every single transaction ever, so I know for a fact there is not one Satoshi out of place. But if you do that, then you're sacrificing the privacy aspect. You can't have that while at the same time having, I don't know how much you gave whoever.
Yeah, so engage the cloaking device and poof.
It doesn't work that way. You can pick one or the other. The second that you have that level of privacy, then you no longer have the auditability. And the second that you have the auditability, you no longer have that level of privacy.
Okay.
Right.
It's true. You can't have auditability and privacy.
Right. So now...
I mean, you could audit internally, I suppose,
yeah.
Right? In the same way that... Like dollar bills, right? Like you don't have to... The accountant never does work in the serial numbers of the dollar bills. He just works in the amount of numbers. So you could audit in that sense, but you couldn't do an audit in the sense of cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrency audit is a higher level of audit.
Right.
That's what cryptocurrency, that's what the blockchain brought to the world, which is this is not just an audit. This is honesty.
Right.
And, you know, what happened, happened. Not what some accountant said happened that you have to trust because he's a certified public accountant.
Right.
Any bookkeeper can tell you what happened with Bitcoin.
Yeah, you cannot have privacy and live in a glass house at the same time. It's one or the other. BTC is one of those chains that is a glass house. You can see absolutely everything all of the time,
correct.
Which means that you have to lose a level of privacy if you're doing that. Now, you can, you know, in theory, go through basically custody ship or, you know, something that is like custody ship in order to have a layer two that has privacy. So now at that point, you can introduce this, like, I don't know who sent what to whom, but according to the code, it should all be there. But I can't actually check every last Satoshi.
So Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, it's all software, right?
Sure.
And so software, of course, can be improved, right? It just depends on the developers who are implementing the improvements and writing the code to implement them. So that's not going to stop.
Mm.
There are developers currently on, as near as I can tell, every cryptocurrency that exists working to improve that cryptocurrency constantly. Every day they're working to improve. They're working to implement new things. They're looking to find what's going to make them. It's kind of like the search engine wars were back in the early aughts. Right, everybody's working so hard to like figure out what who's going to be the next, who's going to be, you know, and probably out of nowhere is going to come some coin, right? They're like, they'll be like, guys, we did it, right? We've got all of the good features of these five coins and none of the bad features of these. Here it is, right? It's gonna happen, right? Now it's going to be up to the developers of these other coins whenever that happens to attempt their own version of that or to implement those exact features into their own coins.
But you're still going to have niches. So, for example,
Sure, that's fine.
Like, what BTC will probably, you know, always be competing in is security.
Yeah.
Security and store of value, which means that it's not going to gain functions because every function you give it is an attack surface that could theoretically destroy it entirely in a way that we haven't figured out yet.
Here's what concerns me about Bitcoin is that yes, the transactions are so expensive that it will at some point become a what do they call a settlement layer? Mm-hmm. This terminology, which means that, you know, at the end of the day, big corporations move Bitcoin in between each other in order to settle the cost. So I should say banks, right? The banks move Bitcoin between each other in order to, you know, settle the amount and the transactions remain low or whatever. And it just becomes a settlement layer.
Mm-hmm.
And that without that, therefore, we're stuck with another coin, whatever that other coin is. And that other coin is like most likely, from what I'm seeing on the playing field right now, to be a central bank digital currency.
Yuck.
I don't see how you would integrate those.
Well, you wouldn't have to. Like, let's say right now that banks, how did banks integrate dollars and gold? They said dollars are worth this much gold, and then they move gold back and forth between each other. So that they'd use it. You'd use it in the same way.
Well, so first and foremost, I think that the nature of this technology is that it's destroying the designation and distinction of what is and is not a bank. So people, companies, corporations, whatever, everything gets to be a bank. Everyone has access to the direct settlement layer. So, like, I, as a person, cannot access the SWIFT system. Microsoft Corporation cannot access the SWIFT system. But we can both access the blockchain.
I remember, they went and they listed the top 1,000 Bitcoin addresses. And let's say this was 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was speculation as to whose was which one and, you know, all that stuff.
Which one is Satoshi's wallet? I remember all that.
Yeah. I'd love to know if anybody, any human being is one of the top possessors of Bitcoin. Any living human being is a top possessor of Bitcoin.
Why?
I just want to know, because I think it's mostly corporations at this point. Mm. You know, Michael Saylor and his operation and any variety of groups of people out there.
The first two answers that came to me are like, well, there's Michael Saylor and there's Fink. In a way, that's an individual who effectively owns that. But
what about,
I see what you're saying.
What about the Winklevosses?
Yeah. They probably have some. And, the same with... The guy from the Mighty Ducks, the kid. I can't remember his name. He ran for office. He's in Puerto Rico. Anyway.
But I got no idea.
The other from the Winklevoss. Sorry, my brain just doesn't work as good as it used to.
What?
So I also wanted to get back on the China and Russia couldn't possibly do this as easily.
Brock Pierce.
Embracing of Bitcoin as easily as America could. So ignoring the real politic problems, like, that would actually seem to me the most effective way for those rivals to destroy their rival America, because America is fundamentally propped up on its ability to print the world reserve currency.
America's currently in a better position than both of them, right? So shooting arrows down, way better than shooting arrows up, right? So if the United States goes ahead and adopts cryptocurrency, I agree with you. Any of these three sovereigns, United States, China, Russia, the only three sovereigns. Mm. Sorry, Switzerland. you lost it back with FETCA. The these three organizations, any one of them would benefit from choosing Bitcoin as its reserve currency, or in some way supporting Bitcoin. You know, some better economist can figure out, somebody who understands money better than I can figure out how to both keep your currency and support Bitcoin. It doesn't even seem that hard. Mm. You know, Joe Biden just come out and say, Bitcoin's great. You know, like, it's not even that hard to support it.
Oh, it'd be pretty easy. Just, we're nationalizing Tether.
Okay. Yeah, right. I mean, USDC. Ta-da,
you are now part of the Federal Reserve.
Probably USDC. But, well, any one of them.
Yeah, fair point.
And, that any one of those organizations would benefit, but the United States would benefit to the point that it would destroy the other two.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the other two, any one of the other two, would go through major changes within their economy, because they've been lying at a level that the United States isn't yet lying at. Because the United States is still the top dog. It has the most value.
It's basically the prisoner's dilemma at this point. If any of them chooses to embrace the superior technology,
they win.
They win. If two of them choose to embrace the superior technology, then they win. And if none of them embrace the superior technology, they all lose.
Right. And what the United States is currently doing is proclaiming themselves the loser.
And by the way, this very conversation puts a target on both of our heads.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
I mean, so the fact that, you know, like anybody who's listening, well, these guys are telling our enemies how to win. Well, I'm telling you how to win, too, but you just won't do it.
Yeah, the enemies won't listen to us.
I want the United States to do this because I still fundamentally support that particular set of liars and thieves.
Yeah, none of these sovereigns are going to do this because they're all too corrupt. Mm-hmm. They would have to embrace honesty, and that would show their skeletons as well as everyone else's.
So then... is it possible? So you've now eliminated those three sovereigns.
I am, however, telling everyone, self-custody your own coin. Own it yourself.
I'm for that. But the individuals would have to team up into a large enough group to be able to take the superior weapon, which is Bitcoin, and storm up the hill beyond the king of the hill, right?
No.
Yeah, they
no,
would.
That's a terrible idea. No, you undermine these things. Don't overthrow, underthrow.
I'm not talking about actually taking them on, but I am talking about, like, you know, there are, right now, no Bitcoin people, almost no Bitcoin people supported Ian, right? Like, they didn't care.
Yeah. Earl, so what? You know, he's a big blocker, and they're dumb.
I don't think he was a big blocker.
Oh,
he's definitely a big blocker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ian was definitely a big blocker. We've argued about it on this very program.
I have them reversed then.
Yeah, big blockers because are the BCH.
Yeah,
not big chain.
Not big chain. Big block. Yes, thank you. I had them reversed in my mind.
Right. And yeah, I know this puts a target on my back. I'm telling people to do the very thing that they want to shut people like Roger Ver up for getting people to do, which is to be your own bank.
I think the thing that everybody is still sort of forgetting about when it comes to these discussions is that the technology itself is a bureaucracy killer.
Yes.
Right. And so that doesn't get thought of enough. Now, in these types of discussions, this coin and that coin and the fee and all that kind of stuff, the technology, the underlying technology itself is a bureaucracy killer. That is to say, it can do all of the things, all of the registering, all of the official documenting.
The public record.
The public record, the notary stuff, right? Mm-hmm. All of this can be replaced and will be replaced.
And
by
most
the superior
of the court
technology.
Stuff, like most of the attorney and the like, will execution and all of that, which is exactly what most politicians come from, is the legal field.
Really easy to determine which will is the accurate one on the will blockchain, right? So we create a blockchain where everybody records their wills, just like the county registrar of properties, right?
Yep.
Everybody records their will, and then if you want to change it daily, it's very, very easy. You know, like you don't run across a copy, the newest copy gets lost. Nope. It's all right there on the will blockchain.
Well, and you can even do a self-executing will.
Sure.
So you don't even have to have someone else go to the will blockchain to do this. No. The code itself goes...
Explain how it would happen.
For example, let's say that I have enough trust in what's called an oracle, which just means a thing in the real world. So, like, let's say I'm sure that this newspaper will print my obituary when I die and won't print my obituary before I die. Probably.
Yeah.
So then I have this program that, whenever this website puts out this obituary,
Warren P. Sassafras has died.
Right. The second that you see Warren P. Sassafras in the obituaries, if it's in newspaper.com/obituaries, then you execute this program. And then it sends that information on the blockchain to move all of my coins of whatever coin I have to whichever designated people I want my money to go to after I die.
Yep.
And furthermore, the thing is like really starting to kick off with decentralized physical infrastructure, NFTs. All of this is ways of putting things in the real world into a record on the blockchain. So you can have things like the deed to my house, the deed to my car, and have those as coins that also get sent to the designated beneficiaries of my will.
Right.
And all of this without ever paying a lawyer.
Yeah, imagine estate settlement automated.
Right. Now, I think that there will always be things, right? Like, who gets mom's china? But, I mean, and you can't automate the execution of that, but you can, with cryptocurrencies, automate the execution of the transfer of cryptocurrencies from one wallet to another.
Yeah.
Whether
you can't move the China on blockchain, but you can move the receipt for the China on
the
blockchain.
Title to the China, if you will, right? Yeah. Like your car has a title, your property has some sort of a title to it, right?
Those and kinds you can of create a title, honestly, for anything. Yeah. You can say, you know, this computer with such and such, you know, serial number or whatever, and... You know, that helps.
I'm waiting for, like, the collectibles industry to really get on board with blockchain technology, because once it becomes used for something as freely traded and unregulated as, like, comic books and superhero action figures and, you know, copies of original Star Wars on VHS and stuff like that, you know, once it starts being used for authentication of collectibles, sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Sky's the limit. It can be adopted by any industry after that for anything, for certification of anything that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, you know, imagine I put out a, you know, an original Captain Kick-Ass comic book, right? Issue number one, and I issue an NFT token for every copy. Right. Well, when you die, you can just be like, hey, you know, execute this NFT. I'm going to leave it to Peakless Mountaineer when I die. I'm leaving you my issue one Captain Kick-Ass comic. Doesn't exist, by the way, if those of you looking for it. And then it does that, and then you get the comic.
Yeah, and the nature of this technology is that there will always be other blockchains. And as long as there's other blockchains, there's going to be someone who wants to make a buck by turning this blockchain into that blockchain. So there's always going to be that ability to go, you know what, BTC is too tracked and traced, I want Monero, and someone's going to go, I want the dollars, or Satoshis in this case, for turning your BTC into Monero.
Right.
We are out of time. If we didn't get to your calls, please try again tomorrow between 7 and 10 p.m. We will be here. Thank you, Peakless Mountaineer. Thank you for joining us today, Mark.
Thank you.
This has been Free Talk Live. If you missed any part of the show, find the archives over at freetalklive.com under the Resources tab. Thanks and peace.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.